Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Matt is joining us, as all guests do, on the UMA guest line. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. Glad to see that you did not end up on the injury report. That's great. Cannot say the same.
You
all right?
Not so fast. I'm going to be, I got a little crick in the neck. Need a massage here, but all things considered, not to make light of injuries, of course.
Good.
But, Elijah Mitchell was the guy that I wondered about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sure looked like he took a very significant hit to the head, and I was surprised when he returned to the game. In fact, last night at dinner, I was talking to some of my coworkers and said I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he ends up in the concussion protocol. If he comes into work tomorrow with a headache, and exactly what happened, and it happened again. For the second week in a row, happened with Marcel Harris last week. And just to kind of educate everybody, it's, you know, there have been a lot of questions about the 49ers and their medical staff and training staff and all that, strength and conditioning. But this is an independent neurologist who okays whether players, you know, go back in or rules them out. So that's not a 49er thing. But he's going to be going through the concussion protocol, and then Emmanuel Mosley's going to be out several weeks. That's a high ankle sprain, so that's never a good thing. And you're looking at an already thin cornerback situation becoming even more thin. And we just talked to Kyle Shanahan, and I asked him about Ambry Thomas, third-round pick, who, you know, just pretty clearly wasn't ready to play in training camp. And, you know, he did not play his final season in Michigan, had a COVID opt-out, but according to Shanahan, he's looking very good in practices, and now he's kind of in that mix to see if he can't help on defense. Then the one that was, of course, the very scary incident with Trenton Cannon, he spent the night in a Seattle area hospital, was discharged this afternoon, and is en route back to the Bay Area, where he'll be, you know, continue to be monitored by the 49ers staff. So that's kind of the thumbnail of the injuries coming out of the game yesterday.
The Cannon injury looked devastating. I mean, he was falling to the ground, and so you got the force of your body and gravity, and then Hufanga was like, basically never saw him, and then all of a sudden he comes around another body and to Hufanga's thigh and knee hit him in the head, and the reaction to the injury by, you know, both teams, but mm-hmm. Jimmy Ward immediately made you think, oh my goodness, is this a neck injury? And what was going on there? I mean, ultimately, what was the injury? It's a concussion, I would imagine, but was he, what were the circumstances there? Was he not moving? Because it seemed like everybody wasn't just standing around. They were kind of shook up by it.
Yeah, it was, you know, there's a lot of uneasy minutes there, really, until he got put on the stretcher. And then, of course, they're telling him not to be moving, not to be doing anything. And they're taking every precaution in the book. But, you know, when they bring out the flat board, when you see the Seattle Seahawks medical staff coming out there too, all that, you know, they started to bring the cart out, and that thing turned around, and here came the ambulance. So yeah, it was just really scary, and it was all, you know, thankfully it was all precautionary. But even toward the time when they put him on the stretcher and were putting him in the ambulance, you could see some players wanting to go up and, you know, wish him well. And I kind of got concerned because there were people on the 49ers trying to keep his teammates away from him. And then you see that his left arm's moving, and, you know, I had the binoculars on him and both arms were moving. I was like, okay, well, that's obviously a very good sign. And he did go to the hospital, And all the bad stuff was ruled out. I mean, obviously, concussion's horrible, right? We know that. But all the, you know,
no paralysis,
no fractures, no nothing, nothing of that sort. So what it basically boils down to, you know, as crazy as this sounds, he is now, he and Elijah Mitchell are both on equal footing in the concussion protocol. And, you know, once you have, I think it's a 5-step process, you know, once you are symptom free, then you kind of graduate every day to doing more stuff, you know, aerobic exercising, you know, finally the last step is, you know, some form of contact, football work without contact and then football work with contact, and then you're cleared to play. So, I mean, right now all indications would be that, that Trenton Cannon, in the concussion protocol, assuming that, you know, he moves through that protocol and is doing well, he'll be playing again in, you know, fairly short order.
How do you explain the ineptitude of the special teams? That has just been, they've been a major storyline in both losses to Seattle, and it's just, I don't even know. I mean, it's got to be some coaching. Got to be, and some of the players got to take responsibility for it as well. It looked like on that fake punt, no one even thought that was a possibility that could happen. Now, granted, it was surprising. You don't see teams do that in the NFL from their own 27 on an opening drive. But I mean, for a touchdown where like the outside gunners have no clue what's going on and are just running, blocking a guy while a guy with the actual ball is running by him. And then fumbles and not knowing the rules sometimes. It's been a nightmare, special teams this year.
It has not been good. That is 100% true. And, you know, watching that play back, I'll admit I did not even see it the first time because I was, like, constructing this unbelievable tweet that was really going to be awesome about how great the 49ers started this game on defense and, you know, how they pushed aside the really scary beginning with Trenton Cannon and how the defense, you know, three and out, and boy, they came to play. They're flying around, and I look up and I see Travis Homer running down the field, and I was like, what the heck just happened? And it took me several minutes to even, you know, to even see the replay of it. And since then I've watched it, and it's one of those plays where you look at it and you go, okay, they had six guys on the line of scrimmage packed in there tightly, three on either side of the center. You had the two gunners being double teamed. So that's, you know, I'm not great at math, but I think I can figure out that's 10 players right there on defense. And then Ayuk is back deep. I watched that and I was like, there was no possible way with that alignment that the 49ers could have stopped that,
mm-hmm.
because the defensive end on the right side was to Michael Hasty. He gets double team blocked. And once you seal him off and the gunners are out there, or not the gunners, but the two guys defending the gunner mm-hmm. are basically man to man and like locked into him. There was that play had no chance to fail for the Seattle Seahawks, the way the 49ers had that defended, or how they didn't have it defended, I guess I should say. But I guess your bigger question is special teams and what's going on. And I don't know. Travis Benjamin's a guy who's returned a lot of kicks in his career, and he puts it on the ground. You know, that was a huge play in this game. It didn't result in any points immediately, but it certainly caused this kind of field position game where they ended up scoring the next time. I don't know. I mean, it's so much there's, I mean, not going to give you great insight here, but so much of it is you just can't explain it. You can't, like, you know, what's going on here? Why is it the 49ers, you know, are so good on third downs for 3 weeks? They're running the ball effectively, not necessarily a whole lot of yards, but very effectively. They're not turning the ball over. They're not committing penalties. And then they go up to Seattle and all hell breaks loose. And everything that they had built for the past 3 weeks, the, you know, all the all the reasons they have been successful for three straight games, those just go washed down the toilet with how they played and the mistakes they made and the mistakes they made at every turn. I mean, this was not a very good Seattle Seahawks team they were playing. So the 49ers did not have to play a perfect game, but they can't play that poorly. No. I mean, they still almost, you know, they still had a chance toward the end, and they really didn't. The only reason they had a chance is because, you know, probably the third or fourth best player on the 49ers on Sunday behind Azeez Alshire and George Kittle, maybe DJ Jones. Nick Bosa was pretty good too, but Gerald Everett, oh my God. I mean, what a horrible day he had. I mean, he just gave the 49ers three possessions. So it's tough to explain, but it seems like stuff like that always happens when the 49ers go up to Seattle.
I'm not asking this question trying to frame what happened yesterday in Seattle as a moral victory, because those obviously don't exist. And the Niners' substandard play compared to the last three games, especially the last two, is what caused them to lose this game. Their mistakes in all three phases had them lose this game. But did you get a sense in talking to players on the record and off the record that it's, hey, man, we're the ones who screwed that up. We're still the team that has an A-plus run game, and when we have that, our quarterback is feeling a whole lot better about his current situation, and our defense is better. They do still realize that they're a good football team in that regard, correct?
Yeah, I felt certainly a different sense, say, after the Colts game or after the Cardinals game, the second Cardinals game. I got a sense after those games that, you know, they were just kind of
searching.
Like,
oh, they were lost.
They were searching. And yesterday was more, I mean, they were disappointed. They're frustrated. But it was kind of like, oh, my God, you know, we did that to ourselves. You know, that was kind of the sense. But, you know, I mean, Nick Bosa, I asked him after the game about, you know, just what's the sense in that locker room right now? You know, do you guys feel like you let one get away? And he said, yeah, we blew it. And that kind of summed it up. And that was, you know, Nick Bosa is a man of few words, but when he does say something, it's usually just kind of spot on like that. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't waste a lot of words on beating around the bush and getting to what he wanted to say. And that was certainly the case. I mean, they blew it and they knew they blew it. And, you know, I got the sense that they were well prepared for this game. You know, watching the 49ers defense through the first almost two quarters, certainly the first quarter and a half, everything Seattle did, the 49ers were all over it, including that trick play. I mean, they were very well prepared. And I think Kyle Shanahan knew exactly what kind of game this was going to be. I think he knew that it was going to be tough for them to run the ball on Seattle. I mean, the stats kind of lie, but they don't lie. You know, Seattle's run defense was far down the list as far as yards allowed per game. But for rushing yards per attempt, they're one of the best in the league. And so they were going to make it very difficult on the 49ers to throw the ball. And Jimmy Garoppolo did not have a great game. I mean, he had a great game. He had a good game in spurts. And, of course, it helps to get the ball in George Kittle's hands and watch him, you know, run like a madman. But there were a couple of bad reads, you know, that he didn't hold long enough, and maybe the other one he held too long. So those are mistakes, and those are mistakes that shouldn't have been made. And, you know, you add in the special teams, you know, with the fake punt, the fumble, the missed point after. This was a game that I don't think that they lose confidence with this loss. I think it's frustrating to go up there on a game where they felt like they should finally go up there and win.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
And the fact of the matter is, I mean, this is who they are, though.
Yep.
This is how a lot of teams are. Yep. You know, the margin for error is not that big. So I don't care who you're playing, even a downtrodden Seattle Seahawks team. You play like that, you give the ball back as many times, you don't have things buttoned up on special teams, you're going to lose. So this is kind of how they are. They have to, you know, they have to play a lot better. Everybody knows that. They have to play a lot better to beat teams, even teams at the lower end of the spectrum like Seattle has been.
It is interesting how they've totally lost confidence in a lot of their young players. I mean, they played Mitchell a lot, obviously, but, mm-hmm. you know, no more Lance. So you're going with, you know, Jimmy over Lance. You know, they went to Lenore. He had a couple bad plays. Boom. Dante Johnson, entire second half. They were flip-flopping between Compton and Jalen Moore. Now it's just all Compton. No Jalen Moore. He had no snaps at all. I found that interesting. And the other thing I thought Kyle made a couple gaffes in this game, to be honest. And I love Kyle, but they were passing on that final drive. Go back and look at the play-by-play. It was a fade to Kittle on the goal line, and then it was a screen to Mitchell, and then it was a Garoppolo to Ayuk. And then, you know, they only really had one run, and they get to, you know, I think it was – they get to first and goal from the 7 and after the Garoppolo slant to Ayuk. And then there's 45 seconds on the clock, their first and goal on the 7, and they ran Mitchell. And then they ran Mitchell again on the next play. And I felt like, well, first of all, they weren't having success running it all day. And they were having success in that drive passing it. I just felt like Kyle on that particular sequence was trying to serve like multiple masters. Like he wanted to score the touchdown, but he really didn't want to give Seattle any time to run it back and maybe kick a field goal and beat them. And I just think that he got caught in between there, and I thought he wasted at least one down where he probably should have thrown it. You know, they were having a lot of success throwing it. Well, give me your perspective on the way that final drive, you know, ended. And of course, the Sherfield hold on third and goal, you know, that was, he was being bottled up there, and they just didn't get the call.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to look at it, you know, after the fact. And yeah, I mean, if they get the call there, then it's first and goal from the 1, and
right.
you know, they can run a couple more plays. But and even the, you know, the fourth down play, if Carlos Dunlap doesn't get his hand up, then probably a pretty good chance that Sherfield makes the catch and they score. So, I mean, it's easy to go back and see that it didn't work out and you know, give you the reasons why. And there's a lot more that goes into it. I mean, he's knowing what the tendencies are and he has the idea of how Seattle's going to play defensively. And maybe he felt like there were going to be some openings in the run game where, you know, they hadn't been able to make those yards consistently throughout the game, but that things were going to open up there. I mean, that's kind of the nature of football though. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo said it, you know, you could move all the way down the field, but if you don't make that last play, then you know you lose, and that's it. And that's, I mean, people are judged in this sport probably more harshly than any other sport because you play once a week, and if things work out, then you're the hero. And if things don't work out, regardless of the circumstances, whether it's an official missing a call or an official making a call that is borderline, whatever the case may be, then you end up as the loser and you should have done something different. So, I mean, I didn't have any issue. I guess the issue I had at the end was that they just didn't get it in the end zone. Yeah. And, you know, and they didn't for a variety of different reasons.
What the hell are they going to do next week at corner? I mean,
that's a great question.
Cincinnati can throw a little bit, and they're coming off a game where the Chargers just blasted them. But Burrow and that receiving core, and I mean, no Mosley now. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they do. Maybe blitz every play.
Hang with me. Hang with me here.
And okay, I'm hanging. I'm hanging.
Yeah,
right
just
here.
See if you kind of see my thing.
Okay, hold on. Let me get your vision. I'm going to close my eyes here.
Does your vision include Drake or Patrick? Please, coming back. No,
I'm not going to re-sign him. That's kind of part of it. Is that You know, no, we knew from the beginning of the season, you know, the second that Jason Verrett went down, we knew that there were going to be some issues with the cornerback position. So, you know, they did sign Josh Norman even before that. You know, he wasn't signed to be a starter. You know, hey, when your best cornerback goes down, I think every team in the league, you're going to have issues because it's really difficult to find cornerbacks. And cornerbacks, I mean, the best cornerbacks one year might be the worst cornerbacks the next year. It's the most volatile position, I think, in the NFL. So, you know, I wasn't expecting any miracles from the cornerback position. Turns out that Emmanuel Mosley has played well. Mm-hmm. Josh Norman has been freaking all over the map as far as he's played, with all the penalties. But he punches the ball out. He gives up a lot of completions, but generally they're in front of him. You look at the stats, and even yesterday's game, the 49ers pass defense was pretty darn good. I mean, Russell Wilson.
How much of that was because of the defensive line, though?
But yeah, it's all tied together. I think it's all tied together. But if you look at the pass defense, but yeah, no, it's the pass rush. It's a lot of different things. But they, I guess my point is, when you look at the stats and you see that the 49ers are among the best teams in the league as far as yards allowed per game, I just kind of look at it and go, I wasn't expecting this defense to be the, you know, miracle workers, mm-hmm. but I was actually expecting it to be a hell of a lot worse than it is. So they're doing a lot of things right defensively. And I come out of this game where, you know, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I think they combined for about 100, you know, close to 130 yards receiving between them. I might have expected each of them to have 130 yards receiving against the 49ers defense, the way the defensive backfield is situated. So I guess my point is that things could be a heck of a lot worse with the guys that they have. And so how are they going to tie it together? It has to be, you know, the defensive line has to step it up. You know, maybe Ambry Thomas is ready. He seems to be more ready than he's ever been to play some meaningful downs. You know, Josh Norman is, you know, you just don't know from play to play what you're getting with him. But I guess what I'm saying is I've been surprised.
You're not selling it, Matt, right now. You're really not. I'm going to need a little more from you.
Seriously.
No, I'm surprised with the cornerback situation that it isn't a heck of a lot worse than it is.
It's not a disaster. That's what you're saying.
Give it a week.
Well, yeah, maybe so. I mean, right now, I mean, they're down. You know, if you look at them to start the season with Mosley and Verrett, that's a pretty good group of starters. You can win a lot of games with those guys. And I just look at where the 49ers have been, and the games they've lost, I don't know that it's been because of the cornerbacks. I mean, yesterday certainly wasn't. You know, Lenore had a rough game, but he got pulled, and Dante Johnson goes in there. I guess if, you know, special teams does its job, if the offense does its job, if they don't turn the ball over, I still think I don't see the 49ers pass defense as being the reason that they're only 6-6.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So you like their chances against Cincinnati is what you're saying.
Oh, all right. No, I think they'll get crushed. No, no. I think D'Amico Ryans has done a pretty good job as far as meshing the defensive backfield with the rest of the defense. I would just say this is that I thought, you know, going into week four, the 49ers secondary would get, you know, beaten down by Seattle's wide receivers. That didn't happen. Thought the same thing going into the game against the Vikings, where they're going up against Jefferson and Thielen. That really didn't happen. And yesterday I kind of felt the same way, and I don't think it really happened that way. Metcalf had the one deep pass on Lenore that turned out to be, that was a huge play because it gave them momentum right before the end of the half. But, you know, all in all, I think that what they've done better than anything is they've limited the damage, and they haven't, you haven't seen these 400 yard passing games against the 49ers secondary, where I thought, if you told me, who would be out there, I would have thought that would be a lot more commonplace, where teams are just going up and down the field like a track meet against the 49ers defensive backfield. And that hasn't happened.
Matt, as always, we appreciate the time and the insight. Be well. We'll talk to you next week this time, my friend.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.